It's time for your North Iowa news on KCHA for Tuesday, April 9th. I'm Mark Pitts reporting. A Northeast Iowa man is facing multiple charges after he was accused of sexually assaulting three of his co-workers. The Fayette County Sheriff's Office says they received a report of a sexual assault on a minor victim at a convenience store in Claremont on March 31st. An investigation resulted in the arrest of 34-year-old Terry Choi of Dubuque on five counts of third-degree sexual abuse, all Class C felonies. According to the criminal complaints, three separate co-workers, all 17 or younger, claim they were subject to unwanted sexual touching by Choi on multiple occasions. He's also accused of cornering victims in a store cooler and making sexual comments towards them. Authorities say Choi made statements that he was the victim, but admitted to touching at least one of his co-workers. Sheriff Marty Fisher says the case is still under investigation and more charges could be pending. He's also concerned that there may be other victims and encourages anyone that may have been a victim or has information about the alleged incidents to come forward. Choi is being held in the Fayette County Jail in West Union on a $50,000 bond and a no-bond hold parole violation. If convicted, he could face up to 50 years in prison. A Northeast Iowa man has been accused of sexual misconduct with minors. The Olwine Police Department arrested 74-year-old Alan Griffith of Olwine Friday morning in the 800 block of 1st Street Southeast on two Fayette County warrants. Griffith has been charged with lascivious acts with a child, fondle or touch, a Class C felony, plus dissemination and exhibition of obscene material to minors, as well as indecent exposure, both serious misdemeanors. According to criminal complaints, Griffith is accused of sexually assaulting two minors on multiple occasions, as well as showing them pornographic images and videos. Investigators say he also exposed himself to both children, with the alleged activities taking place in Griffith's home between September 2021 and May of 2022. While no one spoke during the public hearing on the proposed property tax levy rate for the 2024-25 fiscal year, the Charles City School Board fielded questions to start their regular session Monday night. School district stakeholder Dean Grover challenged the board on an increase from the current rate of about $12.94 per $100,000 of taxable assessed value to almost $13.39.
You sent me a tax notice that you want a 13.5% levy on taxes increase, and I'd like to know what the other schools are asking for the same deal, because to me, you're taxing me crazy on farm taxes.
Board member Bruce Cambrick explained that the tax increase is necessary to keep the school district afloat.
It's a multiple of issues, the primary being the shortcomings or a deficit in our special ed program that is near $1 million. As a school in general, we're looking at more than that in a deficit of costs. We have to somehow recuperate that to keep our schools solvent.
Cambrick also noted that the increase could have been more.
We could have went for 90 cents, and our team has worked very, very hard to try and keep it at that 40 cents.
The property tax levy rate can't become official until the school board holds a public hearing for the 24-25 fiscal year budget, slated for April 22nd. Last July, Floyd County supervisors greenlit a $5 million overhaul of the county's current 911 system equipment, which has become too costly to constantly repair. E91 Board Vice Chair Ben Chatfield said there are also holes in coverage.
Downtown Rockford is a prime example. You know, the fire department has a hard time getting pages if they're in town, and the sheriff's department has a lot of areas in the county where they can't communicate with dispatch. So in a public safety aspect, it's really important that we get this new system up and going.
Chatfield added that upgrades will also get Floyd County on the statewide 911 communications network.
The state in 2017 came out with a statewide system called ISICS, and what that is a giant operating system that they're encouraging all the counties to get on, and it allows us to be able to communicate with State Patrol, Department of Transportation.
If all goes as planned, Chatfield said the new system will be ready by late fall or early winter to improve response for law enforcement and emergency services. One hiccup along the way was finding a location to build a 300-foot tower as part of the county's network. After an initial proposal to place a tower at the Fossil and Prairie Park Preserve near Rockford was rebuffed by concerned citizens, the county agreed to purchase 1.5 acres across from the park from Steve Slater for $70,000 plus 25% profit sharing for any tower rental space for 30 years. During yesterday's board meeting, supervisors approved some minor changes in terms of the contract language, including that the agreement be transferable to Slater's heirs if he should pass before the length of the contract. Supervisors then discussed how to best determine the boundaries of the tower site, with Floyd County EMA Director Jason Webster offering some perspective.
The only silver lining to this is that I don't think that this discussion that we just had is going to affect the actual location of the tower. No. I think that can keep moving forward. you know, that they really need that pinpoint for the FAA applications to say this is where the tower is going to be. I don't think that's going to be changing at all. So I think that that can still continue to go on in the background.
Supervisors eventually agreed to the basic parameters of the tower site and looked to finalize a contract with a surveyor to officially outline the site at their next board meeting. The Charles City Chamber of Commerce will host a volunteer fair this Friday.
If you're recently retired, looking for something to do, if you're new to town and are wondering what's going on in the area, I would encourage you to do that as well. Just see what there is. If you have a passion or an interest, I'm sure there's an organization in town that you would pair well with.
That's event organizer Ginger Williams, who adds that the need for volunteers and the skills they can bring to the table is diverse.
If you think of these nonprofit organizations, their boards and their volunteer base is constantly changing. So maybe one year you have someone who's really good at making flyers and social media posts, or maybe you need some help with landscaping or anything like that. There are so many things that volunteers can be a part of.
Williams says at least 15 nonprofit organizations are scheduled to be on hand this Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. in the Zastro Room of the Charles City Public Library.
Including the fair, we've got everyone from PAWS to the Foster Grandparents, Carrie Lane Chapman Catt, Girlhood Home, the Arts Center, the Mobile Food Pantry, Charles City Community Foundation. There's a lot of groups.
A complete list of vendors, along with a link to more information, can be found with this story on our station website. The volunteer fair is free and open to the public. More North Iowa news on the way on KCHA.